Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How does your garden grow? On the first leg of my flight home from Dickinson, North Dakota, I was sitting next to a mother with her 10-month-old little boy. I wanted to put her mind at ease, and I said, "Oh boy, I get the privilege to sit next to this little boy. I'm a grandpa, so don't worry. Don't worry about bothering me." Now, he handled the flight very well. We proceeded with a discussion in which I found out she was a young farmer's wife, that she and her husband live on a 700-acre farm west of Lincoln. It's an all-grain farm. Her husband works for another farm besides his own. Toward the end, she mentioned how the fields are planted today. It's all by computer and satellite, and it blew my mind away. Where the field is programmed in and the computer steers and turns the tractor, making perfectly straight lines and straight rows. It doesn't have any waste in which it crosses over into what has already been planted. And her husband said it's more efficient, but it's taken the fun out of farming. You know, where the personal challenge of controlling how things are planted. Do you garden much? Do you have a garden this year? You know, this year has been a cooler spring, and that has helped, I think, getting some of the vegetables growing and growing stronger. You know, I continue to try to raise raspberries and blackberries and blueberries, and if the heat doesn't get them, the birds do. I think I've gotten about a half a dozen blueberries this year. But the question this morning from our gospel is, how does your garden grow? Today's gospel is from Mark 4, verses 26 to 34, and we have two short parables. These parables are stories about seeds, but the parables themselves are really kingdom parables. They are about the kingdom of God. Thus, each starts with the words, "The kingdom of God is like." So to understand them, we know that we need to be thinking about the kingdom of God. In the first one, the farmer scatters his seed into the field. He lives his daily life going about his other chores. And while he tends his garden and works in the garden, there is nothing he can do to make it grow. Well, suppose his neighbor asks him, "How does your garden grow?" And he may say, "Well, it's doing fine. The lettuce is up. The squash is vining out, and the tomatoes are setting already." "Well, that's good," says the neighbor. "But I didn't ask how it is doing now, but how does it grow?" "Well, I put the seeds in the ground, and I keep it watered, add a touch of Miracle-Gro, and with warm sun, soon it is growing." "Okay, that's closer," says the neighbor. "But that is all about what you do. I mean, how does the seed grow?" Now, since this farmer went to egg school, he starts to tell his neighbor about the parts of the seed. The endosperm, the epicotyl, which is the baby leaf inside, the hypocotyl, and the radicle, which is the little baby root inside the seed, and about germination techniques and so forth. "Very interesting," the neighbor remarked. "But that tells me about the parts of the seed and what the seed does. What I mean is, how does the seed grow?" "Well, I don't know," said the farmer. "It just does. It's a seed, and that's what seeds do." That's what Jesus says about the farmer in the parable and about the seed. The farmer goes about his business. He knows what to do with the seed, but he does not know what makes it grow, why this seed grows, and why that seed does not. But it does what it is supposed to do, and it does it by itself, meaning it does it automatically. And it does it over time. You know, I'm thinking this year that in our Oklahoma Sentry chest, there is a man out at the Hunter's Lodge out east that is planning on, or he should have by now, planted some seed from a cob of corn that was buried in the chest. Now, that seed is 105 years old, and he believes that that seed will still be able to grow. And I'd put in a message to Chad Williams, the research director, and he had put in a call, but you know, the man is on vacation right now, so I don't know how that is going, but I'm waiting to hear if that 105-year-old seed is actually growing. But first there is the blade, then the ears on the stalk, then the tassels and the full corn. The kernels fill out into those ears, and you have to hope that you grab it before the raccoons get it. Well, that's what the farmer does. When the crop is ready, the farmer sends out the harvesters and harvests. So what does this mean? The parable is about the kingdom and of God. Who brings the kingdom into existence? It's Christ. During his ministry on earth, Christ was proclaiming that the kingdom was at hand. In the first place, the parable is about him. Christ is the seed. He is planted into the ground by coming to earth and in his burial. The parable reads, when the grain is ripe, the underlying words are, when the fruit presents itself. Well, Christ is the true vine. He voluntarily presented himself as a sacrifice. And in the fullness of time, the Father sent the sickle, cutting him off. My God, why have you forsaken me? Cried Jesus. And he was buried in the tomb, into the ground. Christ rose again. He is the first fruits of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. First the blade. And how did this all happen? We do not know. We only know what happened. We do not understand how. How could an omnipresent God who created all become a man, a creature confined in time and space? How could an eternal God die? We do not know. We only know that it is true and that it happened. And that from his death, he gives us life. Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The seed does bear much fruit. And so in the second place, the parable is then about the church. At first, the church was small, 12 apostles. But then it sprouted and grew. On Pentecost, there were 3,000 baptized, and it keeps growing. First the blade, then the ear, and one day the full corn shall appear, and the Father will harvest all of the church and bring us into life, into the world to come. So we as members of the church, we are branches of the vine. The parable then is about us. How is it that we grow in Christ? We don't know. All we know is that God has given us his word, and we know what we are to do with his word. We're to receive his word. We're to read it. We're to mark it. We're to learn it. We're to take it into our hearts. And as Martin Luther said in the Small Catechism, hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Well, what happens next? We don't know. We know this. That just as it is foolish and useless for the farmer to try to make the seed grow, it is foolish and useless for us to try to make ourselves grow, whether that is growing in faith or growing in the righteousness of living. The farmer cannot make the seed grow. We cannot make ourselves grow. But the farmer knows what he must do with the seed. He must plant it into the ground. He must water it. Fertilize it and give it light. So too, we know that we should do what we should do with the word. The word waters us so that we do not feel that we are living in the sun-parched desert drear of life. The word fertilizes us. That is, it encourages us. The word gives us light. We do not have to walk in the ways of darkness, for we live in his marvelous light. How does the word change our hearts and minds? How does it change us? We do not know. We only know that it does it, because that is what it does, and it does so automatically. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth and return not empty, says the prophet Malachi, but brings forth fruit. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will accomplish the purposes for which I have sent it. So how does your garden grow? It grows by the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord that created you. It is the word of the Lord that gave you newness of life. It was the word of the Lord that waters and sustains you. Stop struggling. Start abiding. The farmer cannot make the seed grow. We cannot make ourselves to grow. But the word will grow us. The word will raise us up. And it will do so automatically because that's what the word does. We are living in his garden. Christ is the first fruit. He, the word of God, is growing his church. And he is growing us. We're not stuck as little seedlings. He will raise us up as we abide in his word. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. All the fruitful ears, the store, will be placed in its heavenly resting place. For Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ shall come again. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.